expecting us to play Final Buffer. I'm expecting us to take off soon.
I know you ain't expecting it. I'm just saying, you know, the expectations for White Sox has not been reality.
I mean, if you look at the rest of the entire league, we're fine.
I'm not looking at the rest of the entire league. I'm looking at the White Sox.
Your beloved Yankees and Twins are trash.
But okay, here's the thing. I'm already recording. Here's the thing. I'm seeing White Sox fans doing a lot of what I like to call pocket watching, which is like the MLB version of pocket watching, which is, hey, look at the Padres. Padres ain't playing well either. Oh, look at the Braves. Braves struggling. Astros ain't shit. What about y'all niggas? What about y'all?
We're fine. And we better than them niggas. We better than them niggas. The pitcher for the Yankees is exactly what I said it was going to be. It's
starting pitching because the bullpen's the bullpen's lifting them up.
Yeah, I never said anything about the bullpen. Garrett Cole and the Pips is what I was talking about.
The problem with the Yankees ain't really pitching. The problem with the Yankees is they're not fucking hitting. They have nobody on their roster that can hit the broadside of the barn. And then maybe instead of 8-11, I think not. By 8-11. Instead of 8-11, then they'd be actual 500 if they had some motherfuckers that could hit. Stanton ain't doing shit. Judge isn't doing shit. Glaber looks horrible. So, like, it's each team really got their individual problems. Like, ain't no team that's, like, really pulled off in the pack. That's why I don't like playing that, oh, well, the Cardinals aren't playing well. And I call Cardinals really not having any starting pitching. I'm not playing all that shit because, I mean, it's all an individual case by case how most of these teams look. White Sox. Problem with the White Sox is A, their manager can't stay the fuck out the way, and then B, they're getting just terrible effort defensively.
Okay, the first one I 100% agree with. I don't think LaRusse has really had it. Outside the Seattle game the first week, I think he's been fine. I don't think that niggas got to get out. Niggas got to get out. That's just really what it comes down to. And the bullpen, just like Ozzy said last night, the bullpen will get better when your starters get past the fifth inning. They can start getting a little consistency on there. Killing Cease.
But who's not getting past the fifth? Because, I mean, besides that shitty ass start from Giolito, which I feel like was just an anomaly. But like,
Gio's been out the fifth inning like one time this year. None of our starters have really been out
the
first inning.
He got to the sixth.
He got out in the sixth, but he was like a fifth of the third. He hasn't gotten through. I don't even think Gio's even been in the seventh yet. Like, Rodon's the one who's been going the longest for us. You know what I'm saying?
Man, that's a fucking lucky.
That's not gonna last, by the way. But if Rodon can give me half of what he's not gonna be pitching like he's pitching now. If he's pitching the way he's pitching now the rest of the season,
I think Rodon's gonna be a better pitcher than Lance Lynn.
Nah, I'm not folding with that either. I'll take that bit easy.
I think the only thing Lance Lynn is doing for you is that he can eat innings. I don't think he's been that good.
Lance Lynn's been great. Have you watched Lance Lynn?
I don't think he's been impressive. He looks like Lance Lynn.
No, you're tripping. He's been great all three starts.
Great, my ass. I think White Sox fans love blowing smoke up Lance Lynn's ass. Lance Lynn is
Gee, what are you watching?
He's not that good.
He's got an ERA like under two.
He's not that good.
Okay, whatever. You're wild.
I don't give a damn about ERA. I mean,
Dallas Keuchel ain't been that good, but Lance Lynn has been Lance Lynn's been better than Gio this year. Second best starter right now.
I mean, Gio's had his problems, but I think Gio's problems are like an anomaly. Y'all can have Lance Lynn. I'm not sold on Lance Lynn.
Feels like a lot of hate coming up with it, bro. That's what I'm smelling.
Yeah, I've hated Lance Lynn since the day he was drafted by the St. Louis
Cardinals. Let's get deeper into it. I mean, we're not asking Lance Lynn to be our ace.
Well, yeah, of course not. You're not asking Lance Lynn to be your ace. You're asking him to be a number three. I just feel like you're hyping him up as a number three, and I just don't think it's going to sustain.
How am I hyping him up as a number three?
Sox fans in general have been hyping his ass up as a number three.
He's been good. What are we talking about? If you look at his numbers, he's been a three or better the last 2 years.
Yeah, I'm looking at his last two games. First game, I don't count because that was the Angels, and the Angels are really good. He did a complete game shutout against Kansas City. Fair. Kansas City's had a really decent year. And then Cleveland wins 10 innings. Yeah, I'm buying Kansas City. I think Kansas City's going to fight. I think Kansas City.
We're not gonna be talking about Kansas City by Father's Day.
Yes, we will. We're gonna be talking about them at least until August, man.
Hell no, y'all tripping.
What is the problem? What is the problem with Kansas City?
Kansas City ain't that good. It's a hot start, like Seattle. I'm not worried about
Kansas. Seattle. Seattle's raking the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, Seattle.
The only problem with Seattle. The only problem. No, they don't.
Seattle started off hot? They started off like 13-3 like 2 years ago. 2019, they started off 13-3.
And then they immediately cratered down. They're not 13-2 this year, though.
What's their
record? They're getting timely hitting their second place. I want to say they are 12-7 because they lost yesterday.
They're going to be what? Fourth in the division.
They're not going to be fourth. Come on, man.
The A's are going to finish higher than them. The Astros are going to finish higher than the Angels are going to finish higher than them.
Astros are not finish higher than them.
Astros are
not good.
I will take that bet. Astros going to be better than the Mariners. There's a lot of teams right now who are getting high off the early season supply. There's a lot of pretenders I see right now. Kansas City.
I feel like you're using your expectations because it also is booing your older. The White Sox are going
to
be fine.
It has nothing to do with the White Sox. The White Sox are going to be fine. When I tell you I have zero worries about us, I have zero. Zero worries about the White. I'm just talking about the pretenders to begin the year. I'm not buying Kansas City. They will be fourth in the division. They're going to be fourth in the division. Cleveland's going to finish high to them. Minnesota's going to get their stuff. I don't believe Minnesota's as bad as what their record is.
Minnesota's going to be fine. Minnesota has injuries. Miguel Sano just went on a DL, and then they haven't had Josh Donaldson since the beginning of the season.
I do think
Minnesota's going to correct themselves because Berrios is looking really good. Byron Buxton's. What the hell got into Byron Buxton?
Byron Buxton's always been good. He just can't stay healthy.
It's been health and inconsistency, but he's actually raking the ball like more than he has ever raked.
I mean, so, yeah, because when he's in a lineup, Byron Buxton really is always raked at least the last 2 years.
To the extent that he has like where he's got pop now?
Yeah, he's had pop. He just can't stay in the lineup.
Consistent pop.
Consistent over the last two and a half years, he's had pop. He just can't stay in the lineup. Trust me, I wouldn't give anybody on the Twins love if I didn't have to. I can't stand the Twins. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, Cleveland is going to be fake decent because they got pitching coming out everywhere. I just don't buy Kansas City, like, long term. I feel like Kansas City is definitely be – it's not they're not going to be a rollover team like they were last year. You're going to have to bring your A game to play them. But they're going to be better than Detroit, and that's it.
Byron Buxton is putting – oh, God, his barrel percentage is ridiculous. His barrel percentage is 30.6. That is in the top 100 percentile. So he's literally playing his best baseball he's ever played. He's got career highs right now in exit velocity, max exit velocity, expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, WOBA, XWOBA. Good God. No, he's been outstanding this season. I'm worried if it's going to sustain because it's very hard for a dude like Byron Buxton to sustain an OPS of 13. I don't know how you can call that. I'm just going to say it, 13.51. But Twins are going to be fine. I do think the Royals are going to be fucking pesky and they're going to keep a lot of teams on their toes. They could finish fourth. What did I say? I think I said like 78 wins, 79 wins. Like, I think it's way too early to be like, oh yeah, that team's going to contend for a postseason berth. Like, nah. But are they gonna be disruptive? Hell yeah.
What I mean by I don't believe in them is I don't believe they're gonna be first or second in division. That's what I mean right now. I think they're gonna be the same. Like I said when we did our season preview, they'll be annoying. They'll be the pesky team you don't wanna play. Or, you know, a team that likes to ruin some playoff of some other teams at the end of the year. But what I mean by I don't believe them, they're not going to be. To me, it's us and the Twins. We're going to be fighting for this division. And I think Cleveland will be around the block. Like, Cleveland will be on the block, but not really. Like,
Yeah,
not really. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're watching from their stoop.
They hard on wax, but they don't really bang like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, even I can just see from the, what, 4 or 5 times we played them, I don't feel them like I used to last year. Like we were bad against them last year. We've had more wins against the Twins this year than we've had all last season. We're terrible. I'm not Twins against the Indians.
I wish baseball reference. I got a baseball reference to try to find Lance Lynn's FIP because unfortunately,
There's no point even bringing
me. Unfortunately, baseball savant don't really be fucking mentioning FIP. Well, FIP is a better indicator of how a pitcher's doing than ERA, since you want to mention ERA.
No, ERA, I don't. This is the thing about it. I'm just saying, from what I've watched, and I've watched every second of this White Sox season, he has been our second best pitcher. Am I expecting him to be better than Gio all season? Of course not. I don't expect him to be better than Dallas once Dallas actually gets his, you know, Dallas got the back spasm problem. So once his back is better, I'm not expecting Glenn to be better than him. But I think Glenn is going to be a solid number three guy. And I think that's all you can ask for him. And I hope Rodon can keep up with his. I'm not expecting him to be 0.47 and being as great as he is. But I can see his mechanics have changed. I'll give Ethan Katz that. His mechanics have changed. And I think he can at least be a reliable number four for us. I don't think. Here's my bold prediction. Dylan Cease is going to be out of the rotation by mid-June.
No shit, because it's a Dylan Cease.
He's terrible, and I think Michael Kopech is going to replace him. I am off Dylan Cease. Like, I'm done. I don't care how much talent he has. White Sox fans, you tell me he has talent, especially my nigga Lotto. I argue him about this in our text every day. I don't care what his stuff is like. You can't locate the freaking strike zone. It don't matter, bro. Like, I don't even know what you do with him at this point. So I think if I'm the White Sox, I give him two, maybe three starts to get his stuff together, then I'm rolling with Kopech, bro. It's just that simple.
To help you understand fielding independent pitching, or FIP, so think of FIP like ERA, but take out any balls that are batted in play. So if a defender has an opportunity to throw that shit to first to get it out, or a fly out, or anything like that, strip it out of your FIP. It only accounts for strikeouts, walks, home runs, if you're a pitcher. So to compare it to ERA, if you want to get a good gauge for a pitcher's true value, you compare it to ERA in this. If your FIP is lower than your ERA, then you're probably just getting bad luck, and you're pitching more effectively than your ERA shows. Because your defense is failing you. If you're like Dylan Cease, for instance, just taking 2020 into account. So Dylan Cease's ERA was 4.01.
Yes.
His FIP was 6.36.
Okay.
That's a larger indicator of a problem with Dylan Cease. He's not locating his pitches. He's giving up a lot of walks. He's giving up a lot of home runs.
Because that 4 ERA definitely is lying.
He gave up 12 home runs last year, and which is almost equal to what he did in all of 2019. So,
and it's terrible because we had like 12 starts last year, if that.
Yeah. So it's an indicator that Dylan Cease will probably work better off in a bullpen than he will as a high leverage bullpen guy, because he can touch 99 or something like that.
Can touch 99, but it's just
his fastball averages around 96. So he's probably better suited for, you know, being a high leverage guy in the bullpen, especially when you get later on in the season, when some of these dudes like Cody Hewer or higher or whatever the fuck you want to pronounce, Matt Foster, some of these dudes who are not that good right now. Once they need to go down, you probably want to just move Cease into like your sixth, seventh inning bullpen spot.
Mm.
But I mean, when I look at Dylan Cease, like his fastball's good, his curveball's getting a lot of spin, but he's walking way too many guys. He's not locating. He's not getting soft. He's not getting soft contact.
He's not. Yeah, he don't strike enough. He don't strike out enough people either. Like his strikeouts. If you're gonna walk that many niggas, I'm going to need to strike Matt more motherfuckers out. Like, he don't strike enough people out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't use his changeup at all. He used it, like, maybe once last night. And that was, like, one of the strikeouts he had. But it's the walks are the problem. I feel like a lot of Dylan Cease's issues could be fixed if he stopped walking niggas. Like, he can't find the strike zone. But, like, and it's not like – it don't even be, like, close. Like, he'll throw two perfect strikes. Then he'll just throw three non-competitive pitches.
Yeah,
like not even close to the zone. It is the most irritating thing to watch.
No, he's better suited for the bullpen. I mean, you know, you mentioned Kopech, but I mean, might as well give Jonathan Seager an opportunity just to see what he can do. If he could be your fifth starter, like you really don't need Kopech to come in and be a starter because you already have your core four. I feel like if you just got somebody that can go out there and give you some spot starts, that's perfectly fine. You can leave Kopech in the bullpen. Kopech can be your starter for second legs and doubleheaders like he was.
Well, Steve Stone doesn't think that we're going to see him start all year because he's like, they got to get more innings.
Nah, I wouldn't do that either. You spent 2 years off, and especially coming off of Tommy John, you probably shouldn't, like, shoulder a whole bunch of load like that. At least I wouldn't have him shoulder a whole bunch of load like that.
I mean, I'm not really mad at that. I mean, I think Jonathan Stephen in the one, I think he had one or two spot starts last year. He looked decent. So I wouldn't be mad at that. At this point, I would give anybody not named Ronaldo Lopez a shot for that C spot.
I forgot Ronaldo was still there. Has he even, like, pitched
again? No, he's on the alternate site.
Oh, I thought they called him up.
No, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
He didn't make the roster at the camp at all. But my whole thing with the White Sox has really just been, you know, bullpen inconsistency and the offense has to get going. Which
they gotta get better production out of Moncada and Abreu. Abreu's gotten there. Moncada still has some room to grow.
Well, Moncada, since they moved him to the third spot, has been killing. He had 3 hits last night, a home run. Pito's doing the usual early season. Pito, it's cold outside. I don't know what to do. Act that we've seen literally every year since he's been a White Sox. But yeah, I think what Moncada is all about finding the right spot. And since he's been in the third spot, I think he's what, 6 of 17? I think the White Sox account posted it. Hold on, I'm finna look at that right now. Since he's been up there.
Well, how many games has, because I've only seen him, like, I think I saw early, he's only played 3 games.
Five games at third spot, at the three spot. He's been 6-17.
And how many games in a row?
It didn't say in a row, but just 5 games this season. He's got with a double home run, 6 RBI, 3 walks. And, batting 353, 455, 588 slash line. So that's what we got right there. I think the line that we've had the last 2 games with Anderson, Eden, Moncada, Abreu, Robert, Grandal, Mercedes, Vaughn, and Magic was the best lineup until whenever Eloy comes back late August or some shit like that. That's, I think, the best lineup to go with. And I actually think Vaughn's going to get sound. Even though he's slowly starting to heat up a little bit, he had 2 hits last night. I do think when Adam Engel comes back, if he goes cold again, we might see him go back to the minors, which I'm kind of like, I wouldn't be mad at, but at the same time, like, you could have just kept him down there and kept the extra year of service time, which goes back to my original problem from this offseason, and you should have signed a DH. We got lucky with Yerm. Let's just be 100% real. I'm not giving any credit to the White Sox for the Yerm thing. You know, you can't convince me he couldn't have been better than Edwin Encarnacion was last year. You know what I'm saying? So that was like, that's probably the only good thing to come from Eloy's injury is we've seen Yerm. And Yerm pitcher's gonna adjust to him for sure. He's not gonna be batting 450 or whatever egregious number he's batting right now. But he is a professional hitter. I'm not really worried about this dude. I think he's legit.
Yeah, I think my bigger worry, at least on the offensive side, is getting Moncada going. Because, like, it's not just his placement in the lineup. He's not hitting the ball particularly well. He's in the bottom percentile exit velocity. He's striking out a lot, too. You expected him to correct himself, but, like, there is a possibility he's still dealing. Like, there's some deep, like, long hauler shit
when it comes COVID? To
guys that have COVID.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm.
Well, Monty actually said something about that too.
He's pretty much batting league average. Like when you look at his OPS plus, his league average is 2 points above league average. So I guess he's not hurting you, which, like, is perfect. Last year he was just a fucking liability. But, you know, when you're not hitting the cover off the ball, when you're striking out a lot, like, that's the two problems for me is, like, you either have one or the other. It's poor batted ball numbers or a high strikeout rate. Nigga, you got both. So either we got to figure this shit out on your own, or maybe you got to go on a 10-day DL and just rest a little bit and go work on some things. But
well, I don't even think the DL is an option. I don't even think they consider
or IL. Like sorry, IL.
Yeah. Well, it's like it's not. It's the difference is well, actually, like he's not well, at least from what's being reported. We haven't heard any reports about him being tired or fatigued like he was last year. Not saying that he's not dealing with that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's to the light. You can look at Moncada's at bats last year and just knew that nigga was in pain. Like it was literally painful to watch him at bat because he just you can see it all in his face. Moncada is the king of being fake injured. What I mean by that is he overreacts with everything he has. Like I think he even ran the third base the other night and it looked like he pulled a hamstring that he didn't. So that's the thing about Moncada. But I do agree that he got to work it out. But it's just the thing with this offense in general. But I think the thing that's been kind of encouraging to what I've seen at least the last week is we're getting better with runners in scoring position. That was the problem we had last year because I don't think we're a great offensive team yet. I think we're good with the long ball. That's why what I saw last night, we only had one home run. It was small ball, the whole, all the other eight runs we scored. That was beautiful for me to see. So I need to see more of that. To me, if you look at a team like the Padres or the Dodgers, these are great offensive teams. They can score in any way. The White Sox can be too home run heavy. And I think that's the problem with the Yankees too. Yankees are too home run heavy. I think they're a little more home run heavy than us, but then it still matters. And I'm not finna sit up here and act like I expected the White Sox to come out way hotter than we have. I'm not finna act here and stunt and act like I'm happy with the way this is. I am extremely irritated by the way the season started, but I see the trend that I feel like we can go over, especially we got these next two games against Texas. We got a perfect get right series. Detroit is terrible. Detroit is nigga. I don't even. They're terrible.
Yeah, you got an opportunity to really correct yourself and kind of pull away. Which I'm trying to figure out who after Detroit because I was just looking at
Cleveland,
who you guys play particularly well.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's off to a pretty good start.
Pretty good start. Yeah.
You got what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got a 9-game homestand.
Yep.
We're in the middle of a 9-game homestand. So this is an opportunity for you guys to – and Texas isn't particularly good either.
Texas ain't good. They're just annoying.
Yesterday was pretty
– that was one of the most annoying games I've seen in my life. It was real
I thought Texas was going to shock the fuck out of y'all because I really liked what Dylan Cease has done this last season. I know, like, you're on the whole, you White Sox fans, Dylan Cease. That was our Dane Dunning. Dane Dunning's had a really good fucking season.
Oh, by the way, I love Dane Dunning. I just want to get this very clear. I do not hate Dane Dunning. I'm just saying I would trade Dane Dunning for Lance Lynn every day of the week. That's
I mean,
all
now
I'm
you
saying.
Wish it was fucking Dylan Cease.
I mean, I always wished it was Dylan Cease. I've never really been a Dylan Cease guy. Like, his rookie year, that was probably the highest I was on Dylan Cease. I was happy about that trade because Eloy. To me, it was like, oh, okay, we got this Dylan Cease.
Didn't nobody give a fuck about Dylan Cease in that trade.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like when I screamed at 9 and 10 in the fucking morning. I was like, ah, Dylan Cease, no! Fuck that,
man. So, yeah, it's not that. I like Dane. I think Dane Dunning is going to have a great career. I wish there was a way we could have got him back without, but I'm doing a trade every day. But the thing that
I mean, you never know. You got Gio Gonzalez back like 3 times after you traded him the first time.
This is also true. We got Adam Eaton back after we traded him. By the way, Eaton so far looked like a pretty good signing so far. I've liked what I've seen.
He's been a good depth signing.
Yeah, I hate that. You know how I feel about depth. Look at the.
But technically he was. Otherwise, y'all would have fucking went out and gotten somebody a lot more serviceable in right field.
We should have got somebody, but that's a whole nother whatever. But my thing with Dane Dunning is, yeah, I think he'll be good. But when you have trades like this, the thing that made me mad last year, the same White Sox fans who are so mad to trade now were the ones I was literally arguing with last trade deadline when they wanted Rickon to give up Kopech or Andrew Vaughn to get Lynn in a truncated season. And I said, nigga, no, that makes no sense. Yeah. These are literally the same people I was arguing with. Now they just give up Dane Dunning. Now it's the worst thing on planet Earth. That's what the issue I had with White Sox Twitter. I feel like I'm like, I hate White Sox Twitter. I'm going to be very, very clear about it. I can't stand
it. It's Chicago sports Twitter. White Sox Twitter is different than Cubs Twitter in a way that I feel like White Sox Twitter is a better example of what Chicago sports fans look like on the internet. Like those are the those are the motherfuckers who are angrily like tweeting about the Bears 24/7. Those are the people who are calling my man Vucevic. What are they nicknamed?
That they're better without Zach LaVine.
Poochie man, yeah, the motherfuckers say they better off than Zach LaVine. Cubs Twitter, like, yeah, it's the Cubs, but it's kind of like they don't really fucking lash out in anger as much as White Sox fans.
But I think that's because y'all won. The monkey is off y'all back now, though. I feel like no matter what happens,
that angry when we didn't win. Like, I can recall times during, like, 2011 and 2014, where it was just like, oh, ho-hum, Cubs lost another one. It wasn't like, oh, God, the fucking, everything's caving in, the world is crashing down, why the fuck did you trade Scott Feldman for this, who is Jake Arrieta? Which we're going to talk about in a hot second. Yeah.
White Sox fans would have lost it. This thing, I think every, and you're right about that comparison. Somebody said Lance Lynn looks like every White Sox fan ever. And I was like, nigga, that is spot on. But if you look at every Chicago Twitter, now I don't know how Cubs Twitter gets down, so I'm going to take your word for it. Bears Twitter is like, I think there's legit idiots on Bears Twitter. White Sox Twitter is just a whole bunch of...
I like how pussies. You just slide notice that I called y'all idiots. Thank you.
White Sox fans? I mean, they are. But they're more pussies than they are idiots. Like, they soft as hell. Like they treat every game like it's week 9 of the NFL season. Bears fans are legit stupid.
Yeah, after that first week, it was like, yo, why are y'all tripping so hard? First off, the Angels are kind of decent. Secondly,
then the Angels got back to playing like the Angels.
162 games.
It's 162 games. Like, and so with Bulls, so I feel like Bulls was probably the most relaxed of all the Chicago sports Twitters.
They called him Coochie Man.
Yeah, like, I was like,
it's been five games. Y'all knew he was terrible defensively. What are we doing?
I was like, I don't know how much Orlando Magic basketball the niggas have watched, which I don't blame them for not watching. But Vooch has never been good defensively, but he gives you 27 and like 14 a game. So I'll be okay if you let a couple niggas go
fast. He's a rich man, Arvydas Sabonis.
That's a great comparison.
And I'm not talking about like international Arvydas Sabonis, because international Arvydas Sabonis was a dog. I'm talking about once he was too fucking old to really work in the league.
When he was on import
over to Portland, right?
So that's just really what I think with that, man. It's just like, relax, bro. And it's just like it's a long season. I don't even like, you know, I like laughing at the Twins, but I don't really pay attention to the standings till like mid-July. Like, even then, you got 2.5 months left. Like, it's a long season. I brought up the example of 5 years ago. I think 2016 White Sox, we started like 28-10. And we didn't make
the finish line. And then you traded Fernando Tatis.
And then we traded Fernando Tatis.
For James.
For James Shields, yeah.
I remember the exact moment that happened. I was like, oh, White Sox are going for it, huh? Damn. Really sucks that they're going to miss out on a guy like Fernando Tatis. Hopefully he's not that good.
Yeah. Well, Tatis, I hope it's a LeVar Ball thing with Tatis Sr. saying that Elijah Tatis is better than Fernando. Maybe we can get LaMelo in the package here. Even though Fernando's not Lonzo, but you get where I'm going with this.
I mean, if anybody is fucking LaMelo, it's got to be Fernando, because Fernando's fucking out ridiculous.
Fernando's awesome. I'm like, hoping Elijah's
it's
on
so
the same
beautiful way. How 22 years to the day that Fernando Tatis Sr. walked into Dodger Stadium and cranked 2 grand slams in the same inning. 22 years to the same day, Fernando Jr. hit 2 bombs out of Dodger Stadium.
Older Fernando Tatis.
The younger one? Like
the 20, one in Padre.
Like,
Padre.
Like
Jr.
22.
So he was, that was the year he was born.
Yeah, it was a couple months after he was born.
That's crazy.
That's 4 months after he was born. Yeah, it makes me feel even more older to realize that the best players in baseball are not, like Acuna. Acuna's 22, I believe. I think he's a 98 baby. He's a 97 baby. He's 23.
Acuna.
Let me not call him Acuna. Acuna.
Yeah,
I love how Bryce was like, it's Acuna. And his dumb ass is just trying to talk his shit. You don't hit well, Bryce. All you do is walk. Which reminds me a couple years ago of a nice little spat I had on Twitter where somebody was trying to say Bryce Harper isn't good, and I'm like, dude, do you see his on-base percentage? Do you see the amount of time he walks, and he's trying to act like walks don't matter? Baseball
people. Baseball people. They just really who yell at sometimes in any game. We grow the hell up.
Oh, grow the hell up. Grow the hell up.
Like, come on, dog. What are we doing? And by the way, I'm watching this Yankees racial slurs pregame.
I was watching it
too. What is up with Paul O'Neill's neck?
I gotta look. I have not noticed Paul O'Neill's
neck. Looks like it's like he had like the Kurt Angle neck going on.
Oh, where it's like non-existent.
Yeah, non-existent, and you just see veins.
Shit.
Like his neck looks like Harvey Dent's face when he's two-faced. And that's what Paul O'Neill looking like. Okay. What's going on here?
Okay.
What's going on?
Let's not disrespect a Yankee legend like Paul
O'Neill. Is Paul going through something, man? You want to talk about it?
Oh, I mean, Paul O'Neill really—he looked like a Seinfeld character back in the fucking.
He
90s,
does
bro.
Look like a.
He looked like, a Seinfeld guest star.
No, he looked like the woman that George dated. Who George said, "Look," she said, "I do kind of look like Jerry." That's who Paul O'Neill kind of looked like. Shout out to my guy Michael K. I love the Yankees.
Actually, he might have been on an episode of Seinfeld. Because I'm seeing.
Was he?
I'm seeing season 7, episode 4, The Wink.
So that's. Okay, that was the episode when George was still working for the Yankees, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm looking at, like, it's Kramer from the back, and Paul O'Neill is, like, looking at him all weird. 1995, that episode came out, so yeah, I think Paul O'Neill would have, like, just gotten on the Yankees at that time. Yeah.
I'm still laughing about they actually had the actual Steinbrenner there, but he was so bad acting. They had to tell him, we taking you out, bro. I don't play you.
That's some balls to just be like, hey, George, man, you're not cutting it. You're fired.
But it's Pete Larry. It's Pete Larry, though.
Of course.
Only Larry David.
Only Larry David could tell Paul, George Steinbrenner, like, you're not working
you're
out.
You're not making it.
You're not making the team, bro. Like, we're trading like, you to Kansas City.
What do you say? Who's my man who played Funkhauser? Eisen?
Marty Funkhauser.
Yeah, he said that. He said Larry called him, was like, okay, so we're doing this storyline about your mother dying. He said, well, my mother actually did die this year. He said, okay, whatever. We're not changing the storyline. Hung up.
Rest in peace to Super Dave, man.
R.I.P., man.
Super Dave. Before we talk about the Yankees, I do want to touch on one of the teams that you think is going to falter or correct themselves, and that's the Seattle Mariners. Mariners won today. They beat Boston. They're now 13-8.
Another team I don't believe in.
They are second in the American League West behind Oakland, which, like, Oakland kind of, like, Oakland funny as hell because the niggas lost the first 6 games. And I was like, oh, shit, the season started? You know how, like, when you get a text, right, and this girl you really feeling, you talking to her, and you start laughing and giggling and shit, but you left the game on and forgot to fucking press pause, so then, like, the computer is just teeing off on you. That was the A's for, like, the first couple weeks. And they were like, oh, shit, game on. And then they just racked off, like, 12, 13 straight.
Moneyball Part 2?
Moneyball Part 2. I think Oakland's gonna be fine. And I just looking at how all 5 of the AL West teams are playing right now, I would say Oakland's my favorite to win a division. But I said Seattle was going to surprise some folks. And they really have. And it's been guys like Ty France and Mitch Haniger who are really performing. And the rest of the lineup is really underwhelming, but they just got Kyle Lewis back. And they're still waiting for Jared Kelenic to come up from an alternative site, minors, whatever you want to call it. The bullpen is what's really been, you know, hanging everything together for them. As of a couple of days ago, they had a 2.69 ERA, which is 2. Nice. Rotation is shaky. Marco Gonzalez had a shockingly great start against the Dodgers the other day, but I chalk that more up to the Dodgers not being able to touch left-handed pitching than Marco, like, actually being decent. So if they're gonna compete or even be fake competitive, I think they gotta get better production out of the starting pitching. But I look at Seattle just for, like, a past comparison because they're a team on the rise that can be good in a couple years.
Yeah,
I look at them like 2015 Astros, And the Astros were really buoyed by Keuchel, who won Cy Young that year. George Springer was blossoming. It just brought up Carlos Correa, and Carlos Correa was making a little bit of difference. They had some veterans on the squad who, like Brian McCann and I think it was Reddick, but it might have been somebody else that was out in the outfield for them. And they really made a difference for them. They were able to bust into the wild card. They beat the Yankees in the wild card. And the next year, they were shit, but 2017, they won the World Series. I'm not saying Mariners are going to win the World Series in a couple years, but they got the potential to. Because they got so many young dudes that are just, you know, on the come up. When you talk about Kyle, Shed Long is going to be really, really decent. He's up right now. Yeah. Kelenic is coming up, and then they got a kid, Julio Rodriguez, yeah, who is going to be a dog. Yeah. So, future-wise, they're going to be decent. But right now, it looks like they're just trying to they're trying to get the gears turning and be competitive. Are they going to, you know, be a wild card contender? We'll see in July. But I like how they started out, and I think they got potential. You know, of the teams who have started out high, I think them and Boston have the most potential to keep it sustained.
I believe in Boston a little more than I've ever seen. I think Seattle is just the case right now. A lot of young players, and they're all finally getting to play together, and they're playing pretty good ball that I think will fizzle out towards the end. But I do agree with the future aspect of it. I do think the Mariners are building something great over there, and I think they'll be one of the best teams in that division in a couple of years. That's just not – I just chalk it up more to a hot start more than anything. Like, they can be a team like the Warriors where they'll be competitive and not the team you want to face. They're not going to be the get-right series. You never want to be the get-right series.
You never want to be Detroit
Tigers.
Or Baltimore.
Or Baltimore. Yeah, one of them niggas. You never want to be the get-right series. So they won't be that. But they'll definitely be a little pesky team that you're trying to clinch a division or something, and they're the team you don't really want to face. Like, all right, we ain't got nothing to lose. Let's ruin these niggas' season.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And I do like Kyle Lewis. They're like one of the blackest teams in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So I love that too. I think it'll be a great story if they can keep this up. I think AOS is kind of, there's no really.
They got the longest playoff drought, I think, in all of all of North American sports.
Yeah, so it's like I think the AL West is going to be a division that's going to go down to the wire. I don't think there's one definitive favorite in that division. So I think it would be cool. It would be a nice story if they could keep it up. I'm not putting my money on it.
Yeah. Boston's gotten out the gates hot, too. Offense is raking. I think JD Martinez got back to form. Bogarts is hitting.
Bogarts, one of the most underrated players in the league.
Motherfuckers forget just how good Xander Bogaerts is.
Xander Bogaerts is
because
great.
He plays for the Boston Red Sox. He should, right. He should have this kind of attention, but he kind of falls by the wayside because you got so many great shortstops in the league. But Xander's out to a hot start too. I won't say they're missing Chris Sale, but when Chris Sale was ready to come back,
what happened to him? I forgot he was on the roster.
He's still on a 60-day DL because remember he had Tommy John last year.
That's right. Was it the end of the year or beginning?
No, once he was on the DL in spring training, and then when the pandemic hit, he was like, all right, I'm just going to get Tommy.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And take the rest of the season off.
Cool.
I would expect him to be back at least by All-Star. Definitely before, but at least by All-Star. But Xander Bogaerts, he's got a 97 OPS. He's tearing the cover off the ball right now. Max exit velo of 94 percentile. So he's raking, and it's kind of weird that he kind of falls by the wayside. But I mean, like, when you got dudes like Correa, Trevor Story, Tim Anderson, Javi Baez, you know, all these great shortstops, the offensive output that Bogaerts is putting up kind of falls by the wayside. But he's been dope. The problem with Boston, I think their division is going to be much tougher because I think you got I almost say three and a possible, but I'm going to do the Yankees a solid and not call them a possible because eventually shit's got to correct itself or somebody. This is my problem with the Yankees, and Rich Eisen pointed this out very well.
Is Aaron Boone.
Every single person in that organization, the players, the coaches, the Brian Cashman, everybody better be thanking their lucky stars that George Steinbrenner is dead.
Oh, yes.
Because if they came out the gates like they have right so far,
you're fired.
Giancarlo Stanton would be playing in Seattle right now.
Michael Stanton?
Michael, he'd be back to being Michael Stanton. Because there's no Giancarlos in Seattle. You know, it's... The Yankees have lost the edge that's made them...
Hit the boss down. Was it 08?
2010, I believe.
Oh, so he was alive in the last championship. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was alive in the last championship, and I think he died shortly after.
Okay.
But yeah, the Yankees have lost the edge that have made them the Yankees. And it was a couple weeks ago, it was after we did the last show, where Yankee fans were so fed up and upset. They were throwing garbage on the field. They had to stop playing, all that. And listen, I'm never going to be an advocate for throwing shit on the field or yelling and berating players.
But they don't accept mediocrity.
I think that shit's lame. But yeah. Coming from a major market where you have a level of expectation for your team, and then add on top of that the fact that you are the New York Yankees. There's one team in all of sports that I would say has a bigger profile than the Yankees.
The Lakers?
And you know how they get when the Lakers are bad.
Yeah.
So when you're the New York Yankees, you are baseball. You're 27 rings. And you're not performing, you're not producing at a level. Like, this was their worst start since 97? 98, they won the championship.
They started off worst team, and they started off fourth in the division in 98.
I think it's 97, but
nah, because that was when they won 114 games. That's what they were saying on MLB TV.
Not 97, 114 was 98.
That's what I'm talking about. I said 98. They started off fourth in the division, because then they was like, well, maybe the last time they started off this bad, they won it to the World Series.
Okay, well, you know, the semantics. And then 91 was the last time they actually missed the playoffs. Not missed the playoffs. Didn't finish under 500. Okay. That was the last time they didn't finish under 500. Yeah, I can kind of see the Yankees started 1-4. I'm pretty sure they were worse than 1-4 the year before that. But yeah, they were definitely worse than that the year before that. They started off 5-10 in 97. But you know, when you're the Yankees, there's a level of expectation that you got to perform up to. And I think that's not only on Aaron Boone, who I never thought was a good manager. They fired an okay manager to go bring in somebody that never managed before.
Right.
That's never managed before. And, like, it hits in some cases. And in other cases, it's like, yo, you niggas are tripping. And so, yeah, I do think Aaron Boone's well overstayed his welcome. But Brian Cashman deserves some of this also. Because, like,
speak on it.
You really should be in contention for trying to get Trevor Story. Because Trevor Story is going to be traded at some point. He's into the free agent season. But the problem is, you re-sign DJ, which it's not a bad move. I just feel like DJ would be better suited at first base, which you're hamstrung there because when he's healthy, you got Lou Voigt at first base. So you have to have him play second. And then... So you got to have him play second, which really should be Gleyber Torres' position because he's not a shortstop. And then on top of that, you went out and you traded for Ronald Odor from Texas, who I think is signed for like another year and he's getting paid a lot of money. So how are you going to fit Trevor Story and then sign him long term? It's kind of odd. You know, they've just been terribly mismanaging the team. They said for years, we got to get starting pitching. You know, the Yankees need starting pitching. Why are the Yankees failing? They don't have starting pitching. And then you went out and signed Gerrit Cole, but Gerrit Cole can't start all fucking 5 days. So yeah,
exactly.
So when is Brian Cashman going to be held? I don't even know how long Cashman's been in that position. But it seems like he's been in that position for far too fucking long without somebody actually checking him to see what his job is and how he's doing at his job. 98. He's been general manager and senior vice president since 1998. It's probably time to move on from Brian Cashman.
He's got the John Paxson.
At least he's won though.
Yeah, that was about with the World Series.
I might be able to give him some leeway on that one.
That definitely killed my point. Let me shut up.
But I understand it. How Paxson just fucking stayed on for like way too long without really being checked because he was boys with the owner, like. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Howell got to fucking stop kicking it with Jerry Jones and actually do his job. But I understand you if you're a Yankee fan and you're frustrated. You know, you should be seeing your team not only compete every year in the division, but then be the best team in the American League. And when they got so much talent like they do now, and they're not competing, they're fighting with Baltimore for the worst record in the division. It's a fucking problem. Now, Cashman's deal was up in 2022. He had signed a 5-year extension. So I think if his shit don't work out after this season,
they're gonna take him out back.
What's the Sopranos dude? Big Pussy. They gonna Big Pussy him.
They throw him outside the lake. Tony, just let me explain, Tony.
Yeah, you're gonna be like Luca Brasi sleeping with the fishes. Where should we go next? Well, let's just go to the Cubs. I guess we.
You want to talk about? You want to talk about the beloved?
We'll talk about the Cubs. They lost today, which, you know, first time in the last four or last five that they lost.
Nice offensive surge coming from the north side.
Put it like this: a week ago, they had one of, if not the worst offense in all of baseball.
In the league. Yeah, it was terrible.
I don't know the numbers after today, but after yesterday, when they put up like 15 runs, they were third in baseball as an offense.
Hmm. 23 runs were scored in Chicago last night.
Like, oh.
That's a lot.
Yeah. See, y'all lucky, because if y'all wanted to, y'all could have did the red line doubleheader. I've never done a red line doubleheader, but that's on the bucket list. Cubs game in the afternoon, Sox game in the nighttime, just ride the red line back.
Yeah, I've not been to Wrigley. I'm waiting for a Crosstown Classic game for me to go.
Just go when the Dodgers are there.
No, but see, I've seen the Cubs play, but at Dodger Stadium.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, just go to Wrigley when the Dodgers are there. You ain't got to wait for the White Sox.
I have to go to the White Sox. Good team. I feel nasty.
You feel nasty going there to root for the Dodgers?
No, I just not going inside enemy territory if my team's not there.
Fuck out of here. I'm not going inside enemy territory. Nigga,
I'm not.
Nigga, I'm a Southside Cubs fan, and I've probably been to equal amount of White Sox games, if not.
Okay, that's because most Cubs fans know that we got the better part as far as it being actual up-to-date. Take the allure. I heard Johnny got, like, updated bathrooms up in Wrigley Field.
No, they updated the bathrooms a couple years ago.
Okay, all right.
They once 2014, I want to say, was like the soft start to all of the restructuring. 2015 was when they finally put up the scoreboard and shit like that. And then 2016 is when I think they did the bathrooms. We still got the troughs, but like, I don't really give a fuck about the troughs.
So I should go in the Dodgers come wear a Mookie jersey and go full.
Yeah, man, like. Wrigley's a fucking time. Wrigley's a fucking atmosphere.
I think I can halfway root for the Dodgers because I've been there 7 years.
Yeah.
I think the time limit is past.
Like, I personally would say, like, a daytime game at Wrigley just because it's a good atmosphere. If it's a nice, hot, warm day, like, yeah. I've only really liked Sox Park at night. And, like, looking at how it's been lately, they started doing the Yankee thing where they flip the light switch during home runs.
And the light thing is cool. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, all right. You know,
by the way, I'm going to stole that
from the Yankees, but okay.
Yeah, That's true. I will not disagree with that. But I am going to the Southside Cathedral tomorrow for the first time in a year and a half. Very excited about that. It's going to be freezing, which I am not happy about.
I miss that. I miss being colder than fuck for an April baseball game and asking myself, why did I choose to do this and come out? Oh, yeah, the tickets were $6.
I haven't been to an April baseball game since opening day 2011, where I almost got hit by Alexi Ramirez's Bentley.
I mean, that's a story to write home about. And
he literally almost hit me. It was like snowing that day.
Was that the same year he had the miraculous play to Burley through the legs? I'm thinking of Mark Burley that went through the legs at Canerco. But
yeah, Alexi, that wasn't
Alexi dope. Did have like a crazy play to first base on an opening day. I do
Alexi's
remember
most Alexi's most memorable play as a White Sox to me was that grand slam he had in 08 right before the blackout game. That was a game that made sure we had the blackout game. We had to tie Minnesota. That's the only real memorable Lexi play. I thought Lexi was pretty decent when he was here, but
he was okay.
Yeah, that nigga almost hit me with his Bentley that day. But so I'm excited to go. We're gonna be in the Goose Island section. So looking forward to getting drunk. Hopefully they'll score some more. We usually suck in our 83 jerseys, but hopefully that changed them all.
Yes, the Goose Island section is pretty nice. I went a couple of years ago with Shakia and Bradford and my guy Jay. And it's really fucking decent. So I like that. But
we'll go to Wrigley, though. Go to Wrigley.
The thing about Sox Park, I think it has the superior food. Bar none. I mean, not to mention the Ted Cruz Cuban that them niggas are pushing out now. They kind of, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical now, but
yeah.
But usually the food there is better. But I think what Wrigley has Comiskey faded, and I always hated going to Comiskey in the daytime because you can never find the fucking ball. I don't know if it's just like, you know, the I don't know what it is, but it feels like it's much easier to see the ball at Comiskey at nighttime than it is at daytime. I don't know. I prefer atmosphere at Wrigley than because it's not even like you're there just for the baseball game. You're there to kick it. You're there to have fun. You're there with your homies. You're drinking and getting fucked.
It's a vibe.
And it's a
White
vibe.
White Sox games are not a vibe.
No, they're very tense.
Yes. Because you're only there to see the game. There's nothing around. You just got the damn Ryan. There's nothing over there.
You got fucking so many people who are there and they're pissed off and they're angry and they're drunk and they're just like, it's hard to be pissed off when you're a Cubs fan. What is there to be mad at? Realistically, if you were a Cubs fan, what would you be mad at?
Well, if I was a Cubs fan, I'd shoot myself, but that's a different discussion. You're asking the wrong person. And I come from like, my mother's a diehard Cubs fan. Like, I come half my family Cubs fans. And I just happened to be, my dad took me to a White Sox game, like the true saint that he is. And my life got changed when I saw Frank Thomas hit a ball almost like in a damn run.
I feel like it's a fucking crime for your first baseball game to be a White Sox game. My first baseball game was a White Sox game. The only thing is, I also got to see Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, and Randy Johnson. So I feel like I was saved.
Okay, relax. Relax. On the hate over.
I wasn't there to root for who would have been the starting pitcher that day. Was Jack McDowell still on the White Sox?
I think Jack McDowell, because my first game I went to was like 97.
It was 97. So yeah. Jack McDowell was still there. No, he had left by that point. I'm forgetting. It might have been Jaime Navarro, actually.
That's a throwback.
Yeah. I gotta look this up. 1997 Chicago White Sox. Because Alex Fernandez was gone at that point. It may have been Wilson Alvarez, actually. No. It was Doug Drabeck. I knew it was a fucking white dude with a handlebar mustache. Doug Drabeck started against Randy Johnson, and the White Sox got the shit kicked out of him. But, like, I was only there to root for Ken Griffey Jr. because, like, I was five, and that's all I knew.
Griff is my second favorite. You know, it's funny. I'm a White Sox fan, and Frank Thomas got me into baseball, but he's my third favorite baseball player. Number one is El Capitan, you already know the cap.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, that's number one. The kid is number two. I wore my hat backwards because of Griff. And even though he was washed the White Sox, I can say he played for my favorite team. And then number three would be him. But you know my problem is the White Sox part? And this is the issue I had the last game I went to. First of all, it was a terrible game. Maybe the worst game I've ever been. It was like 105 degrees outside. Very muggy. The White Sox didn't even score a run. The A's won 1-0. There's no hard liquor at Comiskey. You can't find it. It's just beer, 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 beer. I was like, I need something to get through six more innings in this game. And I couldn't find it. Dodger Stadium, they got sidebars.
How do you not? Wait, dude, you could just go into the fucking, the little bar area that they have. They serve hard alcohol.
About the Shine Soccer Bar?
Yeah, they serve hard
alcohol. I still wanted to be. I'm talking about. I still wanted to be like actually sitting in my seat though.
But you didn't want to leave.
I said, it doesn't matter if I pay for the tickets. I have this rule: if I pay for the tickets, I'm staying at the whole thing. I don't care if we're getting shellacked. I watched the Clippers beat the Bulls by 35, and I stayed to the last minute in Staples Center.
Okay, but like baseball games are basketball games are objectively slower.
And those are 1-0 games. I kept thinking they could score a run to actually win the game. The final score was 1-0.
Oh, I thought you said they were getting blown out.
No, it was 1-0. It was just a terrible baseball game. And Bob will say this. They have affordable beer. If you go to Dodger Stadium, there's nothing Dodger Stadium under $20. Nothing.
I can believe that.
Everything in Dodger Stadium is expensive. You get you one of them French fries in a helmet, you essentially paying for the helmet. It's ridiculous. So I'm trying to go to every ballpark that's on my
bucket list. I just want to know, like, if you are a Dodger fan, why would you sign up to be scammed like that? First off, you have to go into the fucking Batcave to even
get the Batcave to get in there.
Secondly, like if you have a family of four and you're going to a Dodger game, you're probably spending $1,000. So like, fuck that. I can go be an Angels fan, have low expectations, and then go see Mike Trout. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna spend still money. It depends on what part of LA you're probably gonna spend a good money on gas to get all the way out there. Now.
Okay, you know, fair point. Make a very fair point.
I would say this, the experience, one thing Anaheim Stadium has over Dodger Stadium is ground level, and there is a Golden Rule brewery across the street, so you can go over there and get drunk and eat for under
$50. Yeah. That's the thing about Wrigley is you have so many fucking bars that you can go to before and after. So like honestly, you can like get fucked up at one of your favorite Wrigley bars. I choose Nisei. I know a lot of people that choose John Barleycorn. The thing about John Barleycorn is it's never chose me. So I don't go there.
Did Nisei survive the panoramic?
It's doing as well as it can, but yeah, it survived the pandemic, thank God. Okay. It's good that they have a following of folk that will always support. But you know, if I want to just go get drunk until the second inning or third and then show up and enjoy the rest of the game, I can. Like, still think about it. I love it. I love that part.
I'll go because I drag Mike to White Sox games all the time. He just makes fun of the White Sox.
But Mike don't like Wrigley either, though, right?
He can't stand Wrigley. Mike is the only Cub fan I know who hates Wrigley Field and hates Harry Carey. And he hates Go Cubs Go.
Go Cubs Go is very campy and hokey, but like that shit comes on, I'm singing it. I don't care. What was I gonna say? It's impossible to hate Harry Carey, man.
I don't have a problem with Harry Carey, but you know what song is stuck in my head?
What?
And I blame Knicks fans. We are the New York Knicks. I see you on my timeline every 5 minutes now. I'm tired of it.
Because them niggas have been good for the first time in forever, so they're not going to...
Like I said, the Tibbs bill always comes due.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going to say that.
They're like, listen, there are so many things that remind you of the...
That era.
of the 2011 Bulls. The only difference is the 2011 Bulls were a lot more talented.
They remind me of the 2013 Bulls when Derrick was on the sideline. That's what they remind me of.
Only you got Derrick actually playing. But, like, it's the thing. Like, you got Tibbs, you got Derrick Rose, you got Taj Gibson. It's exactly what it used to be. They got a hot start in Tibbs' first year. Like, it's exactly like it was for us.
Players bought in, everybody wearing bench mob t-shirts.
Yeah.
Let's fast forward to 3-4 years later when you got Joakim Noah tweeting stuff like, I tried to hit a three, but Tibbs was hating.
Is how I know Tibbs is really a Skrull in disguise. That nigga cut off the key cards and said, no, you're not coming in to work out today.
Yeah, that's not the Thibodeau I know.
Hell no. Hell no. That's a fucking Skrull in disguise.
Skrull, okay? Tibbs.
Fuck out of here with that. But yeah, anyway, back to the Cubs like we were trying to even get to in the first place. While Aaron Hicks, who's hitting 167, is at bat right now. Yeah, they got the offense going within the past week. Do I think that the Cubs are so fucking inconsistent that, yeah, they'll probably be the 500 ball club that I expect them to be, which is what they are now. They're a fucking 500 ball club. But they're so inconsistent that you're going to have them times where it's just like, yo, y'all are not hitting for shit. I can't watch y'all. And I fully expect that to correct. Like, just
what's worse to watch? A team that can't score or a bullpen that always costs them leads. I ask myself this all the time.
A team that can't hit.
A team that can't hit, I think, is way more infuriating.
Because you have to sit through 9 innings of that shit. And then, the off chance that your pitching is doing the job, you're able to, at least your starting pitching is doing the job, like in the playoffs. They got really good pitching out of both Hendricks and Darvish for them two playoff games. If they would have hit like they have been in the past week, they would have cleaned Miami easily.
But they couldn't. Without a doubt.
But they couldn't. And so they were sitting their ass at home by the third game, by the third day of the playoffs, third, fourth day of the playoffs. So, like, just looking ahead, once they get through with Milwaukee, which tomorrow is probably going to be a wash because they're playing, I mean, Arietta's pitching. So, but Woodruff.
How has all lives Arietta been this year? Been, I haven't watched too many.
He has been really good. He's been really
okay.
Good. I'm just going to pull him up on Baseball Savant so I can get some deeper numbers of what Jake Arrieta's doing. But 3-1 so far, and I feel like the one is really an outlier because I think that was a Pittsburgh start where Pittsburgh just outplayed the Cubs. But yeah, Jake's doing really well. He's losing some velocity, but he's getting good pitches on his slider and on his curve. So he's not like 2015, 2016 Jake Arrieta, but he's getting really good break on his off speed pitches. I think that's been the difference for him, is when you're losing exit velocity, or when you're losing velocity in your pitches, you gotta have, you know, your breaking stuff that's really working. Like, his expected ERA is 5.21 and it's 2.86. So he's getting good luck and good defense behind him. Am I worried that it's going to sustain? Probably not to the level that it has so far. But I think that's better than what any Cub fan would have expected given the last 2 years that he's had in Philadelphia.
Give me another month and I might be with you on the Cubs. Because I'm watching the rest of this division and I'm not impressed.
I'm trying not to watch the division just because, okay, Pittsburgh won earlier today. They're playing better than expected. I feel like they're going to crash.
Tough juice.
Cincinnati is going to fight, and I think if Cincinnati makes a big splash at the deadline, it can be in it.
Am I the only one who thinks Sonny Gray is overrated?
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not the only one, but I also think that, like, you're fixated on Yankee Sonny Gray.
Okay, that might have something to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, which I mean, like, I understand,
I watched three Rangers games last year, and that's when we played them.
Yeah, he hasn't been that good anyway this season either, so, but he's only had two starts. So, I give Sonny Gray a little bit of time, but.
Yeah, he wasn't too good last night.
Against St. Louis, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I try to not pay much attention to the Cardinals, but, you know, Cardinals have not gotten started pitching, and it's funny because, like, They've been a really good pitching team for the last couple of years, but they've been missing some bats in the middle of the order that could really separate them. Now they got that bat in the middle of the order, but the pitching stinks. So, but I don't expect that to last with St. Louis. I think St. Louis will correct themselves.
I want Nolan Arenado to stop lying. We ain't got hit it with it. I always wanted to be a Cardinal all my life. Nigga, shut up. We know you.
Right. Didn't. I mean, who knows?
He gotta kiss the fan base.
Well,
ass, but...
wait, no. Who knows? Like, he might be a lifelong Cardinal fan. You know, I'd have to take a look at his what he's registered to vote as, or who he voted for in the last election.
In the 2016 election.
In the 2020 election too. You know,
2020.
Maybe he's a really big Cardinal
fan. Is he a Trumper?
Maybe he thinks Darren Wilson was in the right. I don't know. I don't know. He's from Newport Beach. There has to be a whole bunch of Trump folk in Newport Beach.
Oh, for sure.
So, definitely. You know, he might fit right in with the best fans in baseball. But yeah, you know, I think the Cardinals will kind of get themselves back right, and you know, they're going Dylan Carlson 2. Dylan Carlson's starting off pretty solid this season. Carlson 2, Goldschmidt 3, Arenado 4. Like, if you're gonna put together a 2-3-4, they probably got the best 2-3-4 in the division. You know, sans when the Cubs are actually hitting well, and then Milwaukee just has stellar starting pitching. And when you get past the stellar starting pitching, then you got to deal with Devin Williams and Josh Hader. So, you know, if the Cubs were dealing with anybody other than that, they probably could have pulled out today's start. They were able to get a home run from Jay Hay off of Devin. but then he finished the eighth, and then Hader clamped down the ninth. So in that regard, I'm trying not to watch the rest of the division just because I expect the division to still be solid when we get on
the Who's the Bradley months. Cooper looking mark on y'all team who's been hitting the ball the last couple of games?
Who looks like Bradley Cooper?
I think he like in left field for y'all niggas or some shit.
Jake Marisnik?
Yeah, that nigga. Yeah.
He looks like Bradley Cooper.
He kind of look like Bradley Cooper.
He does kind of look like Bradley
Cooper. Hangover era, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, he's
even fake decent.
Yeah, he is fake decent. He's a career .229 hitter, so he's better off as your fourth outfielder.
Nice depth guy.
Yeah, that's what he is. He's a depth guy. He's a guy that's gonna come in. He's gonna come in the later innings. Provides you some defense. He'll give you some pop every now and then. Like he had a homer and a triple Friday.
Yeah, he was going crazy on Friday.
So he was doing pretty decent. But yeah, I mean, he's not like a long term piece or anything.
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I might break my golden rule of only buying my team's jerseys. I really want a Mookie Dodger jersey.
Yeah, that's on the list. But I wanted to say Mookie on the back.
On some do the right thing type vibe.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It's got to be a white one that has to say Mookie on the back. It's not going to be Bear, and it's not going to say Betts.
Yeah. Marcus Lynn Betts.
Marcus Lynn. No, that nigga's name is not Marcus Lynn. He is Mookie. Mookisha Betts, okay? Yeah, I need a Tatis. I need a Tatis one, too. But in the,
I want Tatis, too.
In the gray or the brown, because I really like those gray Padre jerseys.
Well, I'm going to Petco this summer. I think me and the homie, me and Pierce, me and Damien, so we try to hit up Petco and Safeco or something. So I might grab me my son who left home, jersey. What's that? The prince who was promised.
The prince who was promised.
Nando Tatis might go get his jersey in San Diego.
Oh, man. Like, dog, if I can get Padres, Dodgers every single day for the rest of the year, I would be happy.
Six games, or they've been five.
Six.
Six games have been incredible. They've just been great. The Padres played awesome defense last night. Every time the Dodgers looked like they was getting into the game, snuffed them out. That one play by Manny.
Thursday was the best defensive play. Like that snag by
Cronenworth. Oh, that double play?
Double play. That's the best play I've seen all year. Because if Cronenworth can't get to that, or if he's a hair late, then that's a run score for the Dodgers. They're tied. They're probably going into extra innings. He saved Thursday for them. Yesterday was just a really great hitting display from San Diego, and they pulled away. But like that's the thing is like the Dodgers were very dominant those first couple of games against the Padres, and the Padres racked off three straight in that rivalry. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth between the two of them. There's star power on both sides, and the pitching staffs are excellent. Yeah. I would argue that San Diego right now has a better pitching staff than the Dodgers do.
I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
Like, you have a Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell. You have a Cy Young runner-up in Yu Darvish. Dinesen LeMay was on fire.
Who's the San Diego kid? Musgrove. Musgrove's been decent.
And Joe Musgrove might be a Cy Young contender this season if he keeps it up. So, like, you add all of that together, and I mean, like, yo, respect to the Dodgers, but Clayton Kershaw isn't the same pitcher that he was a couple years ago. Still effective, but he's not the same pitcher he was. He's kind of like in the mid region of what Max Scherzer is still doing and what Madison Bumgarner looks like, which is a bum. You still got Walker Buehler. You still got the alt right hander, Dustin May.
The alt right hand. That's
what he is. Fuck him and Rachel Luba.
Dustin May can
give you some really good starts. Dustin May can give you some really good starts. Urias, the wife beater, can give you some really good starts. So it's like
they have some problematic niggas in their rotation.
They really do, but I mean, like, it's Los Angeles. What do you expect?
Yeah, this is also true.
Yeah.
You got some problematic niggas in them crowds.
You got some problematic niggas on the Cubs. My God. Like, why is Eric Sogard?
Who else y'all got on y'all? Who else? I thought he got rid of Addison.
Eric Sogard?
What did he do?
Not only is he and his wife COVID truthers, his wife was on some, what does his wife say? His wife says some really stupid shit after the Adam Toledo video came out. About Chicago violence, and rightfully got ripped to shreds for it. So yeah, them niggas don't belong here. And then Adam Sogard's not good enough to where he still deserves a spot. Nico Horner just came back up, so it's kind of like, yeah, you might need to be getting the fuck up out of here, sir.
Very, White very Luis soon. Robert.
Nico?
Yeah, that's what the joke was last year.
Oh. I would never compare the two. Luis is having a really good
An amazing season so yeah. far.
People are like, oh, Luis is still figuring it out. I mean, like, yeah, to an extent, but he's finally learning how to hit curveballs.
He's finally learning to be patient at the plate.
Right. You know, and like he hits the cover off the ball. When your average exit velocity and you're in the 65th percentile, like You're slamming the cover off the fucking ball, my guy.
Yeah.
He of all the White Sox, I'm like, yeah, you know, you're gonna be okay.
I'm having a debate on who I'm really having a whose jersey I should get on Sunday. Probably I feel like I already got Tim.
Why would you buy a jersey from the White Sox? Just get that shit shipped from Japan.
No, because it takes longer and it's actually cheaper at the team store.
It's cheaper than the $20 I spend on my jerseys?
No, I ain't spending too much. So you got them straight from Japan for $20?
China, I believe, but yeah.
No.
The Mac I got.
Okay. You know, I'm wildly impatient, so I'm just gonna buy it from over there. I'll pay the $5, like unlike Martin. I'll pay the $5 for it, but I think I'm just gonna get either Luis.
Sorry, I lied to you, Martin.
I gotta see a little more from Moncada before I make that
your question was Luis or Moncada? Luis.
Yeah, I was actually him or Pito. I was trying to get the legacy jersey.
Because you can wind up getting a Pito in 10 years when he gets his number retired.
Yeah, this is
also
true.
When he gets a statue.
I'm probably going to get my man Lou Bob.
Lou Bob's a good. I think it's something about 88. Like, when you got double numbers like that.
It's a powerful number.
Right. I usually hate dudes that have numbers like above 50 something. Like, I don't like that Eloy is 74. I feel like that's just a, like, dude.
It's a very offensive line.
Just get fucking 25 and be done with it. Like, no. I fuck with Lou Bob having 88 because it's double eights. It's nice. It feels nice. It's like when Puig was wearing 99.
Yeah, it felt right.
Yeah. It felt like he didn't just get the first jersey that the equipment manager just threw out to him. Like, yeah, we ain't got nothing else, bro. Here's 74.
Enjoy
You just got to deal with it. Get a new one in the offseason. God, I don't know what else to talk about. Oh, yeah. So before we do dip out of here, because I think we've done enough talking, have you been paying attention to shit that's been going on in Europe with European soccer?
I have not really. I know about the Super League kind of together and then it broke up. But.
Yeah. So European Super League, which was going to happen, but thankfully is not. You are going to have 20 of the biggest, most wealthiest clubs in Europe that would join together for their own continental competition, which would have superseded the Champions League. So the Champions League is, you got to look at the Champions League like the NBA playoffs of European soccer. Only, like, those teams are still playing their domestic leagues within their countries. But this is just, like, in Europe. So, the Super League not only would have, you know, ruined the other European competitions, it would have ruined all the domestic leagues. Because if I am a middle-of-the-road team in England's top flight, what kind of incentive would I have or would players have to come play for me when they can just go to fucking Manchester United and make all the money and then not have to worry about, you know, losing out because of merit. I'm not going to sit here and explain all that shit to you because I'd be here for like the next hour. But anyway.
It sounds complicated.
It is very complicated and you kind of have to sit around and play FIFA for a little bit to get it. But essentially that shit died out. Thank God. I feel like that's a good thing because it's preserving the game of soccer. Soccer would have basically switched to like an American model which doesn't necessarily work over there because you got way too many teams and a lot of clubs who aren't like financially stable. It would have fucked a lot of people's favorite clubs up. But I mentioned that to throw out if we had a, let's say, 14 team Super League in baseball. Well, I think 14 the White Sox would be on like my last four in, last four out. Because like I have, the only reason they would be in the last four in or last four out is because like I see a future for the White Sox. Not because like the White Sox are some fucking legendary
powerhouse, right?
But if we were to have a 14 team Super League in baseball, I'm just gonna throw out the teams that like 100% we know would be in there: Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox, Cardinals. I think are the five that would for sure be in. So we got nine more spots to give to teams in our Super League. Who do you think deserves to be in that?
Say the teams. Say the four you said:
Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, Dodgers, Cardinals.
That's five, right? Am I math right? Okay. Yes.
We need five teams.
Are we going off talent on the field or just like prestige?
Overall, like we gotta consider the talent on the teams right now, because put it like this: if you were gonna do like a 10 or 12 team Super League in football, you probably wouldn't leave Kansas City off, because although Kansas City doesn't have the lineage, they still have Patrick Mahomes. That matters a lot.
So, and the Bears are getting in strictly because of the lineage.
Because they're the Chicago Bears. Even though they suck ass. Yeah. So you got to factor in, like, you know, who's on the club now, the projection of the club moving forward, the fan bases, the history, all that shit. If you would roll all of those factors into one, and you really have to make a tough decision of who doesn't deserve to be on there, I would probably...
I think either Braves should be in there.
I was going to say, as a sixth team, I would put the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
I would put the Oakland A's.
So would I.
10 championships, I would put the Oakland A's.
You said the Cardinals already, right?
I said the Cardinals already, so we're at seven. We got seven more to fill.
I honestly would probably still put the Padres in there. We're looking at, like, I think they have a good fan base. I think the future for them is extremely bright. And they're the only show in town in San Diego, so that whole city rallies with them.
Yeah, but I still feel like Dodgers would probably cover all of Southern California if we needed to.
Okay, that's a good point.
But we'll throw the Padres in because they do have Tatis, they do have Machado. Like, they have a really good prospect list. So, yeah, we'll throw them in. So that's eight.
Throwing Cincinnati in there?
You probably have
Nice little legacy there. Nice little history.
You probably have to. So that's nine. Well, I guess if you throw Cincinnati in there, you gotta throw Detroit in there.
Ooh, really?
Detroit got one.
I'm throwing KC in there before I throw Detroit in there.
I'm definitely not throwing Kansas City in there. Detroit got seven championships. That's seven division crowns. How many championships do the Tigers have? They have four. So maybe not.
I didn't know they had that much.
Yeah, they got four. All right, well, fuck it. I'll throw the White Sox in.
I thought we already put them in there.
Well, now they're officially in there, so that's nine.
Okay.
So that's nine teams. We got five more to fill. Just kind of going. Well, I guess the Angels have to be in there because Trout. 10.
Astros?
The Astros are ass until this decade.
Okay.
So cool. I don't know if I can put them in over.
Were the Angels the Mets really that good ever? Outside of that 2002?
No, but they have Mike Trout. Okay. Like, they got Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. I think that's enough. If we go put the Padres in, the Padres like literally just became the last team to throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, that was a wild stat. Right. Yeah, these are good questions, man. I'm trying to think who else would we put up in there.
The Phillies? Like
Phillies,
would you put the Phillies over the Mets?
No. I would definitely put
Phillies the Mets have a much longer history.
Yeah, but the Mets had the 80s thing. Okay,
put it like this. I'm going to put the Phillies on because we already got one New York team in the Yankees. And I feel like we need a team from Philadelphia.
Okay.
We got to have a team from Philadelphia. So that's 11. We got three spots. I really want to throw in the Baltimore Orioles. A, because the jerseys are slick as fuck. B, because you got to have some teams that are just garbage.
What about Toronto?
Toronto. What am I talking about? Toronto, this is a crazy stat. Since the 1980s, the Toronto Blue Jays have been to the ALCS more times than every other team in the American League but the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Plus, it gives you a team in Canada. They're the only team in Canada.
They haven't played in Canada in like a year and a half.
Yeah, I know that. I know. So we got two more spots. Did we throw the racial slurs in? You just got to have them change the name?
Yeah, you can throw them in there.
We're throwing them in over Detroit? Yeah.
Oh, for sure. You know, I really don't get the Detroit thing.
Over the Twins?
Nigga, the Twins not making it. What history the Twins got?
They got two championships.
When the hell was this?
They won in 87 and 91. Kirby Puckett.
Okay, I guess. I'm not throwing them niggas in there. Fuck the Twins. This might be my bias, but no. Niggas ain't won a playoff game in like 20 years. I'm not folding.
I'm not mad at it.
But yes, I'm definitely throwing.
The Giants. Cleveland what are we doing? San Francisco.
Oh, Giants. Yeah, how did we forget the Giants?
Because they're the Giants.
This is also true. Definitely got. They were the last dynasty. Got the Giants in there.
Yeah, okay. So we got two more spots. We got two more teams for this. Just to rack off the ones that we already got. Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, White Sox, Cleveland,
Cubs.
I'm going division by division. Okay. So that's five. Okay. Angels. Who else did I say from the AL West?
A's.
Angels. A's. I saw my head popped in at Texas Rangers. Funny. Phillies 8. Braves 9. Cubs, Cardinals, Reds. Oh, actually, I think we've already passed. I think we've like blown past, actually. How the hell did we blow past? Let me do that one more time. Yankees, Red Sox, Blue Jays, White Sox, Cleveland, A's, the other team, Angels, Cubs, Reds, Cardinals, Padres, Dodgers. Yeah, I think I said 15. I think we got 15.
Okay.
Oh, 15's fine.
That's cool.
15's fine. I think we cut a lot of the dead weight in baseball. So yeah, I like that one. I think we've got a pretty decent truncated 82 game season on the show to play with.
That would be a Wild Wild West season. I kind of want to see that for like 1 year.
And like honestly, you could probably do 162 games and then just have each team play each other like what, 12, 15 times.
12. Yeah, I'd be kind of before that.
I definitely would be. I don't think we got anything else baseball wise to talk about, so we'll dip on out of here. Yeah, man, I am at Cameron Santo on Twitter. Scott is at Barbershare Scott. Follow us at BarbershareNet, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. Sign up for the Patreon, Patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork. You'll get everything from the top 25, which is coming up again for the month of April. You'll get summer sessions, which apparently you guys have to bleep out words, which is like, what's the point of a?
Look, man, it was.
I heard what you said about Whitney, so I'm just gonna let that be.
It was. I didn't say that. That was.
I'm pretty sure
my brother.
It was
my brother or Damien. It was one of them. But
sure it was one of the two.
It was a dark path we went down. But that was the first and last time that ever happened. It was just dark. In fact, there was a lot of stuff in there we let rock and we probably shouldn't have let rock. It was a dark episode.
That's why it's on Patreon.
It was dark.
If you pay the $5, you get it, but we want you to pay the $10 because it's support.
Now that Falcon Winter Soldier's up, we're gonna finally finish. We're gonna take the 7 weeks before Loki comes.
What did you think of that ending?
I loved it.
And be honest.
I'm gonna be honest, I loved it. I thought the only part I had a problem with was
That's Black Falcon. No, that's Captain America.
That's Captain America. Why the fuck do you have a grown-ass light-skinned man saying that shit with the zeal of a 10-year-old boy?
It was corny, but then my brother brought up a good point. The first Captain America was extremely corny, but besides that, I had no problem with it. I enjoyed it.
Captain America's corny. That don't mean a random black guy got to be corny as hell, too. You know how we are.
That's corny niggas. That's mad corny.
Of course there's mad corny niggas, but we don't need mad corny niggas being a shouting out the representation of this black Captain America. Like,
okay, I personally loved it.
If he would have had like dreadlocks and be like, I got American, bro.
Then I probably would have been like, problematic. But it would have been kind of stereotypical. But I personally loved it. My only issue, I feel like the finale was a little rushed. I kind of feel like
an extra episode.
I feel like WandaVision, this finale was a little rushed too. I feel like the second to last episodes were better than the actual finale. But it's kind of like that with a lot of shows, even with Game of Thrones and The Wire. What's the word? I don't know how to pronounce the word. You just said it. The what episode? The pendulum episode or some shit like that? I don't know. Yeah, that them episodes usually the best. So, but also said like we were talking about on Twitter, like, these are not, they're saving the big finishes for the movies. They still want you to come to the movies.
I think you were on a really good track when you said it was raw episodes, but I think it's they're definitely
the lower pay per views, Backlash and Unforgiven. That's a better.
It's an Armageddon. You know, like you're expecting a big match and for it to deliver. Sometimes you know you might get a Goldberg and Triple H, which is not really that good.
But the title's not gonna switch hands.
Yeah, where it's going to be like a fuck finish, and Triple H is going to wind up
somebody will come out with a steel chair, disqualification.
Yeah, like, that's what you're getting out of these Disney Plus. Well, I mean, granted, WandaVision knocked that out of the park, though. So, like, that's like your money in the bank, you know? But Falcon Winter Soldier was definitely an in-your-house.
I enjoyed Falcon Winter Soldier more than I enjoyed WandaVision. Really? Just because I like more of the current timeline things more than I actually cared about Wanda's individual trauma, which I'm not saying I didn't love. I love WandaVision. But I liked Falcon Winter Soldier just a little bit more because I've been waiting to see what happened at the end of Endgame for 2 years. More because when I had zero expectations for WandaVision. So it exceeded all of them. Falcon Winter Soldier didn't exceed my expectations, but it met it. You know what I'm saying? So I love that. I think it's more about character development. So when you see these guys in the movies, you're more attached to them. You know what I'm saying? And as you see, as soon as the finale came out, they announced Captain America 4 coming. So it's all really for the bigger movies.
That's what I will say is that they made Sam look like a valuable Captain America.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than just giving him the shield and having him be Captain America, like he had the conflict.
He earned it.
He had the conflict of being, you know, being black and having to carry on a mantle. And I think they told a good story with him. I wanted a little bit more, you know, with Bucky. I don't think Bucky really got proper justice on the show. He was the
Falcon.
He was the Murtaugh.
Yeah.
Like if we were to compare this like Lethal Weapon, Falcon was Riggs, he was Murtaugh.
Yeah, I agree with that. But with Disney Plus, there's different ways you could do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this obviously they're gonna do a Thunderbolt show. There's different things that are seeds that are already planting. So they can go anywhere with Bucky, but I loved it, man, personally. Now, of course, everybody calls me the Black Kevin Feige on Twitter, and you know, I can be biased about Marvel for sure. But I thought it was great. I wouldn't give it a 10. I give about an 8 out of 10. I was satisfied.
Well, it's a little 7 or 8, but I think Loki is gonna blow the doors off of me.
Oh, Loki is gonna
quality.
Loki's gonna be insane. And Tom Hiddleston's the GOAT. I love Hiddleston.
So where are we on for the timeline right now? Because okay, we get Loki in June. We get What If, I believe, in July.
That's probably gonna be July, August.
But we also get Black Widow in July as well, right?
Yeah, we actually get Black Widow in episode 5 of Loki drop on the same day. So it's gonna be a nice viewing day.
Yeah, nice.
To watch that.
And then we get Shang-Chi in Shang-Chi. September.
Labor Day weekend.
And then, okay, nice. And then Eternals is still set for like a November
release, November, right? And Spider-Man is the Christmas release, and then Miss Marvel and Hawkeye both still dropping.
Damn. Damn, man.
So when the year is over, we're going to have 10 Marvel projects. And then you get like a get a nice little two-month break, and then we hit you upside the head with the movie that everybody wants to see, Doctor Strange 2. And they're keeping that on the low. That movie's been wrapped for about a couple weeks now, and we ain't seen no pictures from the set.
Oh, yeah, I see post-production. No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen a single picture from that yet, and they just started filming Thor Love and Thunder, which comes out 2 months after that, and then we get Black Panther 2, which is going to start production pretty soon.
I'm a little worried about it soon. But if there's anybody I trust, it's Coogler and Feige, but I'm a little worried about it.
I'm worried about the story that you're going to tell without T'Challa.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is setting up for Zemo to be the main heel in Black Panther 2.
I think Namor is going to be the heel in Black Panther 2. I think they're setting Zemo to escape the wrath.
Have they even confirmed Namor yet, though?
It's been confirmed, but it ain't been confirmed. But they're talking about it's going to be an earthquake under the crust, something like they hinted on. So it's 9 times out of 10 going to be Namor.
The earthquake thing, but. You know, just looking at everything, we already know who's going to be the villain in Ant-Man and the Wasp. We already know who's going to be the villain.
That's going to be crazy. Jonathan Majors is going to kill that.
Yeah, we know Christian Bale is going to be the villain in Thor Love and Thunder. So we kind of have an idea of
Zemo's Thunderbolts. That's why they sent him to the Wrath, because General Ross is over there.
I thought Zemo was in Wakanda.
No, they sent that nigga to the raft. Remember the raft that the Cap bailed out Falcon and them niggas at the end of go back and watch the Wakandans took him there. Go back and watch the raft. Yeah, it's the raft.
Is it like a post credit scene in 5?
No, it's not. It's at the end. Remember when the car blew up in the finale?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the car blew up, we saw his butler. Zemo's in the raft. They show the raft to him in the middle of the ocean. He's in the same cell that they were in Civil War, that Falcon and Ant-Man are in there. They're in the raft that General Ross owns. And so he's part, they say that it's going to be him and whoever Elaine is playing, Van, whatever her name is, Val, whatever her name. They're putting the Thunderbolts together. That's why she gave John Walker the U.S. Agent suit. So that's probably going to be a Disney Plus series. So that's why they sent him to the raft. So he's not in Wakanda.
Interesting. So what, it's going to be Zemo, Clint,
Zemo, Walker,
Photon, I don't even know if she's Photon.
They're probably going to introduce some more, like they're slowly introducing the Young Avengers right now. The Young Avengers are low-key assembling right now.
Okay.
So, yeah. But check out Cinema with the Guys. We're going to go more in-depth on that this week.
Yeah, man, similar with the guys. Check out Ruthless Aggression, new episode also dropping, same time as this one. That will all be on the main feed. You also got a Bald Online that just dropped yesterday. So, yes. A lot of content.
Very good Bald Online, by the way. We had like 2 things on the rundown, and we did pretty good. We talked about a potential NBA final matchup that nobody is talking about. That I think it's like a 95% chance that might happen. Not 95, but I'll say 80.
What, 6% no. Suns?
I could see Bucks Clippers. I really could.
You know, what's funny is I looked at the standings today and I was like, oh, the Bucks are third in the East. Ain't that something?
And they just beat the brakes off the Sixers again today. So, the best thing that happened to them two niggas is the Nets, because nobody's talking about the Clippers or the Bucks.
Not at all.
So, for them to go under the radar. And the Clippers are 11-2 in April, and that's without Kawhi. That's without Ibaka. That's without Pat Bev. So if I had to bet my house, I still say Lakers, Nets.
You're also betting on the sleeping giant not doing anything in the playoffs, which like
the sleeping giant is LeBron James.
Yeah, if you're fifth seed,
because it don't matter what seed. Because
who's the fourth seed right now? Denver.
Denver is the fourth seed. Yes.
They're beating the shit out of Denver. So then they move on from
especially
Matt.
Without Jamal Murray, yeah.
They move on from Matt. They're playing Jazz. Got the best record in the West.
Jazz got the best record. They probably
play the Jazz, and then you're getting either the Suns or the Clippers.
Or the Suns or the Clippers, right. And it'll be the Clippers. The Suns are a team, like, they're good regular season-wise, but I'm just – playoffs, I'm not putting no money on them.
You got to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm just not putting
them. Plus, we know Chris Paul's track record.
I would not be mad. I would not be shocked if we sitting there July 15th and we in Staples Center for Bucks Clippers. That's all I'm saying. And niggas be hot because that's not going to bring in big ratings, but I can see it.
I'm going to say, I feel like Giannis' star power is at the point to where it could. Like, when you got Giannis versus Kawhi, I feel like it could. And it's still L.A. Like,
yeah, L.A. not watching the Lakers, not yet.
No matter if it's not the Lakers, I still feel like L.A. is a basketball market. And they'll tune in regardless.
For the Lakers. For the Lakers, they are.
It's Giannis.
The
Lakers and Dodgers. It's Giannis.
Nobody else matters.
It's Giannis, though.
Look, I'm gonna watch.
It's not like they're playing the fucking Orlando Magic and Dwight Howard. I mean, like, yeah. It's Giannis.
This is true. And if Giannis makes it to the finals, that means Giannis was Giannis in the playoffs. So that's what we talked about on the pod, and also tell y'all why Andre Drummond is gonna be exposed. So listen to that right now.
So
yeah, the most pointless stat having nigga ever.
All right, we're going to make like LaMarcus Aldridge and Jay Bruce and retire early before we get too late in the game.
Yeah, so Dallas Keuchel can ruin my evening. So
can't wait. Can't wait for that one. This has been the 40-40 Club. We both will be back with our individual pods, both on the Patreon. I didn't do mine this past weekend because tired, and then the verdict dropped, and I was just like, yeah, I can't do this shit right now. So we'll be back to talk about the middle of the road, what's happening. You're pretty sure you'll talk about the White Sox.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll drop next week. I need to get back to Pacific time and get my sleep schedule together, and I'll give you all that.
Yeah, man. On the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare network. Do us a favor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us, rate and subscribe to us. 5 stars, drop a comment. Boosts up the algorithms. We would really fucking appreciate it, man. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about whatever's happening in the early part of May here in baseball season. We're already a month in.
Lord, this is the most baseball I've watched in a long time. I've been watching multiple games.
This shit's going to be over before we know it. Motherfucker.
I'm trying to enjoy the summer before the Bears ruin my fall, so I'm just...
That is White the plan. Sox, please. That White is Sox. The plan.
Please at least get me through mid-October. That's all I'm asking.
Make me forget that we didn't trade up for Trey Lance, please.
Yes. Just get me at least to, like, October 15th, bro. Just at least do that for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's ALCS, so, you know.
That's what I'm saying. At least get that for me.
Losing to the Seattle Mariners in the ALCS.
Oh, nigga, you want to hear a rant on this podcast. Let that happen.
Yusuke Kikuchi throwing complete game shutouts. Y'all thought y'all could hit left-handed pitching, huh? Fuck out of here. All right, we're out of here. Enjoy yourselves. We'll see you in 2 weeks.